Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Chuck Allen. Happy New Year again. I know we're back and we're in kind of the second work week, but here's the great thing about the scriptures. They are timeless. They're really not dictated like Christmas songs are to a season. They are timeless. They are the type that when we take scripture seriously, they infiltrate our soul and we learn so many things, not just about ourselves, but about the world. Well, Jesus had this way of talking in stories. Well, I think a lot of people get frustrated at times with people who want to preach the right way, you know, like point one, point two, point three, poem, amen, you know? And you know what I found is I'm just so bad at that. But I have found that sharing in stories, the scriptures, that they can come alive in my own heart. There's nothing wrong with how anybody preaches, but I love how Jesus conveyed his stories, specifically in his parables. So one of the things we know about that is that parables are a way that Jesus told a story to give us meaning and context. And you've probably heard me say on this podcast before that if we can understand the context in which that scripture was written, we have such a greater understanding of the context in which we are to receive it and do something with. So stories about other folks often reveal things to us about our own self. So when you think about today's parable, start thinking about the sense and the theme in your own life of repentance and grace, because in them we see that Jesus meant for his parables to stir the hearts of his hearers, and in our case, the hearts of listeners and readers. So I want to encourage you today to find the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to talk a little bit about chapter 19, beginning in verse 30, and about chapter 20 for a few verses in the middle there. And so as you read, let this parable serve a bit of a mirror in your life, and ask what Jesus is showing you that you might not have otherwise seen. You see, this is the beauty of how Jesus speaks these stories into existence. Let's start with Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And then Peter said this in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." So Jesus is giving us this story, and in the middle of this story, he breaks out something that really blows their mind and gives them another picture. He talks about the laborers in the vineyard. He goes on in chapter 20, he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard." Now the story goes on and says, "After agreeing with the laborers for a denarii a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, the denarii is like a monetary piece. It's, you're going to get paid this amount of money to do this. As the story unfolds, this guy working there, the boss, he brings people in a couple hours later and pays them the same thing. And then a couple folks, he brings them in at noon and he pays them the same thing. And then he keeps doing that at 2 and then at 4 and then at 6. And it's about quitting time, and it's time to pay up. And here's what happens in verse 12. "These last worked only 1 hour, the folks who had been there forever, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But Jesus replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarii? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as a gift and as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or Do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last. In the vineyard, we learn this concept that Jesus is not impressed with our works. He is not impressed with our intellect. He is not impressed when we give more. Jesus is impressed by a heart that is fully committed to Him. You see, some of you folks came to faith in Christ 30 years ago, and some of you are going to receive Christ on your deathbed. And Jesus says, listen, the first, they might be last, and the last, they might be first. And He's pointing out this simple fact that when we talk about somebody else in this story, we can look in the mirror and ask ourselves, is this about my heart or is this about my action? And Jesus is clear, everything is about our heart. Why would we not be happy for folks who came to Christ at the very last moment in their life? Think about it, friend. Your worst enemy, think of the worst person on the planet, and remember, they are one prayer away from being your eternal neighbor. My friend, make sure you celebrate in the vineyard with the Lord Jesus today. And I look forward to seeing you Sunday at Sugar Hill Church, where we're going to have a wonderful time at 9:30 and 11 for our worship gatherings, and then in Spanish at 11 o'clock as well. God bless you. Bye now.